the All Things XR podcast. Where you can get the best AR/VR analyzers from the biggest names in the field.
Hi everyone, welcome to the All Things XR podcast, I'm Mojtaba. In today's episode, we talk about navigation in AR with our special guest, Andrew Hart, co-founder and CEO of Dense Reality. Hi Andrew.
Hi, how's it going?
Thanks very much. Welcome to the All Things XR podcast. Can you tell us more about yourself and your company, Dense Reality?
Yeah, I guess I'll start at the beginning here. So I've been an iOS developer for about 8 or 9 years by this point. And about 2 years ago, Apple announced AR. Before that, I'd been working on, I'd worked for a few startups. I actually worked for a startup based out of Pittsburgh where we were making a location-based game about a year before Pokemon Go came around. But it was based around the same sort of concept. And I've had other roles in that time, and amongst that I've also had my own apps on the App Store, and I kind of look at myself as more of a product developer. When I'm making an app for the App Store, it's always been about the product itself, not the design and the development. Those have been sort of means to an end. And so I've always been a product focused person. And so when AR came around, I was really interested in what the applications of this could be. And one of the first things that I realized was that it had no concept of geolocation, and that would be a real problem if you were trying to build an AR experience across a reasonable distance. You know, you get this effect which is called drift, whereby if you walk forward for, like, let's say 100 meters, it's going to think you're, like, it's going to not have tracked your location very well across that distance. So I realized that we needed some kind of supporting technology. And so I began working on what became an open source library, which included a feature for localizing you consistently as you walk around. So it's consistent with your real world location. And it also meant that you could add things to the AR world if you knew its real world coordinates. So let's say you knew the real world coordinate of Big Ben in London and you wanted to put an object there, you could give the object the real world coordinate and it would appear in the right place. And so I kind of thought, you know, privately that this could be a big deal. This was something that I thought was really cool. And but nobody else was interested at the time. None of my friends understood quite what I was on about. And so I started putting out some demo videos on Twitter, and this showed off things like points of interest on a skyline and navigation and things like that. When I started putting these videos out, they started going, like, super viral online and getting hundreds and thousands of retweets and everything, and I was getting inundated with requests and everything. And so then I open sourced the library, and it actually became the most popular AR kit library on GitHub, which I believe it still is. It was just an incredible experience, you know, to go from a relatively unknown iOS developer to I would open top trending on GitHub and I would be right there at the top for a couple of months. So that was really cool. And so what I've done since then is I've continued exploring. How can I integrate this kind of technology with the real world? And so what we've landed on, myself and my co-founder, is integrating AR with indoor spaces. So that could be somewhere like a shopping mall or an airport or a retail store or a museum or something like that, or university campus is another great example. These are all places where our experience of navigating in these places, our experience of traveling to one of these places is an entirely analog experience. Let's say that you're in a retail store and you want to find out more information on a product. You have to, like, you know, look down, you have to read the label, you can't get recommendations and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot that you can provide there. And let's say that you're lost in a shopping mall, you're looking to buy some type of item. How are you going to do that? Well, you're going to wander around lost for ages. And this is because these are analog experiences. And if you can introduce immersive technology, if you can introduce some emerging technologies like AR and AI, then you can fundamentally change the experience of these spaces. And so that's what we're looking to do. And so just last week, we announced finally what we've been working on.
Yeah.
We have an AR wayfinding SDK, which is for shopping malls, airports, all of those places that I just mentioned. And so now we're looking to work with some initial partners around the world to really integrate this with those different spaces to bring this really great wayfinding technology to those different locations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you mentioned, you came out of stealth mode in a bit of competence reality. Yep. How was the feedback?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, stealth mode is a little bit of a stretch, I would say, because we have this habit of as we continue to develop our technology, we put out these videos. You know, I said that we started with a couple of videos.
Yeah.
We continue to do that. And every time that we do this, every couple of months, people react in huge numbers and it's really exciting. It becomes a sort of event almost. And we get a ton of outreach. And we've seen that this time also. You know, we've had hundreds of applications from places where they recognize in themselves that we want to be a place where we have the most cutting-edge technology. We have this really great customer experience for the people who visit our shopping mall or our airport or whatever place it is. And so we've had outreach from hundreds of different places like that. And so I get to spend all week talking to those people and understanding what their specific needs are and how we can work together to bring this to their locations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. So, Andrew, navigation has always been one of the most important applications for every user. We have had outdoor navigation for decades, but indoor navigation never took off with previous technologies like, for example, beacons. How do you see AR helping this area, and what are the challenges?
Yeah, well, maps are really difficult to understand. I don't know if you've ever looked at one of those indoor maps of a shopping mall or an airport. I'm sure you have. They're terrifying. Like nobody understands what's going on there. And so what we did was we actually looked at that first and we went, well, how could we build an indoor map that is much better than this? And so we spent a while designing something. And what we've come out with, it's included in our SDK. It's a super clear 3D beautiful indoor map, which is built around the notion of how can we best represent the indoor space in the way that a person also relates to it? So we're not trying to be very technical. We're trying to be as simple as possible and make something that's really understandable to people. And maps, though, are difficult to read because they are basically a layer of abstraction on top of the real world. You know, you're looking at this map and you're trying to decode what you're seeing on the map and relate that to what you're seeing in real life. Well, if you can get rid of that, if you can throw that paradigm out, and if you can just draw a virtual path and virtual arrows on top of the real world and show people where they're going, you know, that is a fundamental shift in behavior. And it's, it removes that layer of abstraction. And so I think it's a pretty significant change in the way that people are going to be able to navigate around indoor spaces.
You mentioned some of the applications and use cases, for example, malls, airports, etc., for the indoor navigation. But, you know, indoor navigation works on localizing users in indoor places. And I feel like there are much more applications for it. Do you also see that as an opportunity?
Yeah, the problem with the indoor positioning market is that it's incredibly disappointing and fragmented, and it has been for about a decade now. Every single person that I've spoken to who's been promised the future of beacons and has tried beacons comes back to me and tells me they've been incredibly disappointed by them. I've never heard a single success story where beacons have worked well. You know, you have to install them everywhere in these indoor spaces and they require maintenance. You have to, like, they run out of battery and everything. Exactly. So then you have to run around updating all the batteries, and they're also made by third parties, so they're not particularly reliable in the first place. And actually, if you speak to the people who developed this technology, the iBeacon technology was developed by Apple. And Apple publicly says iBeacons are not for indoor positioning. They're for proximity. Mm-hmm. And then they never recommend them for that. So this whole market has kind of taken the wheel and it's not ended up in a good place. And so what we wanted to do was we looked at that and we went, okay, well, beacons are not the answer. So what is the answer? Well, we looked at a series of things like computer vision and magnetometers and a few other things. And what we've landed on is basically a culmination of some technologies that we've picked out, which work really well. One thing I would say is that we're completely technology agnostic here. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't start out with a technology like beacons, and we didn't say, let's build a product on top of that. We started out with, well, this is a problem we want to solve. What is going to be the best technology to help us get there? And so you've got some high bar requirements there. Like you can't rely on visual markers installed around the space. You can't rely on everything remaining the same, which is required for computer vision. You can't rely on installing hardware everywhere because, you know, it's going to be really expensive. So we've come up with a solution, and unfortunately I can't disclose it because some of it's proprietary. Some of it's based on on-device techniques that we're using, which we're looking to patent right now. But it works really well. It gets a centimeter level precision indoors, and it's very reliable. It's very, it maintains that level of accuracy across the entire space, and it works on a really big scale. So, we're really happy with it.
Uh-huh. So, Andrew, as you mentioned, in outdoor situations, there's always GPS that we can rely on to localize users. But in indoor scenarios, things are different, and you mentioned some of the techniques. But for the first time that we want to localize the users, how do you do that?
That's a good question. I mean, the first time, as I say, we use a series of technologies. I'll tell you one thing that we don't do is we don't ask the user to perform any particular action. Mm-hmm. Like we don't right now ask them to hold up their phone to like do computer vision. We don't ask them to, you know, walk around or anything like that. It works as soon as they open their phone up is that it gets their precise location.
Uh-huh, that's great. So in terms of platforms, do you support both Android and iOS?
So we're actually focusing on iOS for now. I think when you look at some of the technologies, like AR is a great example, and indoor positioning, it's not actually supported on the vast majority of Android phones. And the phones that it is supported on have really poor performance with it. Mm-hmm. And so there really isn't, for all that Android owns, let's say 65% of the market, I don't know the exact numbers right now. And it also depends on the geography of where you are. For all that they have a high market percentage, the percentage of their phones which are AR enabled and which would work with this level of technology is actually really low. So we're looking to be cross-platform in the future, but right now we're focusing on iOS, where they have really great support across, you know, all of their phones down to iOS 11, and they all support this technology.
I'm sure you've seen Google Maps AR demo. What do you think about that approach?
Yeah, that was really interesting. And a lot of people reached out to me, actually, and they said that they thought that it was clearly based on my previous work in that area.
Yeah.
I wouldn't comment on that personally, but I think, you know, you can make your own judgment on that. I think it's pretty interesting, the work that they've done there. Outdoors is a different beast because they're actually using computer vision. And I actually think that outdoors computer vision is a really good solution because GPS is unreliable. Indoors, you can control all of the environmental factors, but outdoors, you have no control. All you have is GPS. And GPS is, at the best of times, it's 8 meters accurate. At the worst of times, it can be hundreds of meters inaccurate. So even 8 meters, if 8 meters looks okay on a map, but if you're in AR, 8 meters actually is not accurate enough. If something's supposed to be in front of you and it's 8 meters away, then that looks terrible.
Yeah.
So you need something far more precise. And what Google is doing is they're saying that they have this VPS technology, which integrates into many different cities. It works in many different cities anywhere that they've taken their Google Street View vehicles. And and it gets you down. I don't know what they say their accuracy is, but it gets you down to far more accuracy. And yeah, I think it's pretty interesting the work that they're doing there.
So Andrew, what's the business model of dense reality, and how do you see you can make money off of indoor navigation?
That's a good question. So right now what we're doing is we're focusing on working with some select partners to bring it to their spaces. So I guess you would say the business model there is that, you know, they work with us and they pay us to install this in their spaces. And I ultimately think that's probably, at least for the time being, is probably the best business model here, is that you have these spaces where you can, ultimately, I'll tell you that what we say that we, our tagline for this, when we're talking to a space, is look, we want to maximize the value of a shopper or of a visitor to your space. And by having technology which can solve some of those friction points and frustrations, we're maximizing the value of those people. And so we can increase in the value of somebody's visit, whether that's through monetary value or user experience, visitor experience. We can increase the value of a visitor. And that's the whole purpose of our product. And yeah, so we work with them to integrate it into their spaces, and, you know, they pay us to do that.
Uh-huh. Andrew mentioned that you provide an SDK for your technology. So you actually provide the infrastructure for the users, or you go to the B2B work and provide the applications yourself for these malls, airports, etc.
Yeah. With indoor wayfinding, what you really need is you need to be integrated into the indoor space. So you need to know about, for example, all of the different stores and when those stores change and things like that. You need to know about all of the different pathways and really some of the information about the building. You can only really do that level of thing by working with each place. It's not publicly available data, for example, so you can't just deploy it once and have it work everywhere.
Exactly.
You need to work with these spaces to do that. So yeah, that's what we do.
Uh-huh. So recently big players like Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft are showing more and more interest in AR field. Do you see any mm-hmm. threats that they might come up with some announcement that affects indoor navigation field?
No, I think it's great that they're investing so much money. I think it's a real, positive image for AR right now. When I think AR is a little bit under threat by people who say, you know, we haven't really seen any substantial use of AR in any winning product. And I would say that's completely untrue. But, you know, it's a perception that's out there. And I would say that one of the best arguments against that is actually, well, you look at Apple, who are investing billions in this. Tim Cook mm-hmm. actually gives interviews to say that AR is the future. You have Facebook investing billions. Facebook have said the VR is a stepping stone towards AR, so they take it really seriously. Then you have Microsoft with their HoloLens investing billions, and you've got others as well. So I think you have to look at that and you have to say, well, AR is clearly the future, and anything that we are building is going to be enhanced by whatever these different platforms are building. And so we don't see them as a threat. We see this as a, you know, really great opportunity to build even more immersive experiences.
Andrew, do you see any challenges for users in holding up their phones? Niantic recently said in a blog post that users are not willing to hold their phones up for more than 2 to 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't design for that, you know. The reality is that people will not hold up their phone in front of them for a sustained period of time. It's uncomfortable for both social reasons and also comfort reasons, physical comfort reasons. And so people won't do it. So you have to design around people's actual habits when they're using their phones. And so what we do with our product is, of course, we put out these videos and we show us holding up the phone for the whole experience, because we want to, you know, create a great video which shows you what the experience is like. Mm-hmm. But in the real world, we actually design it so that we expect that what people will do is hold up their phones. And we've seen this when we've tested it, is that people will hold up their phones to see an arrow, to see where they need to go, to see the path and where that leads off. And then what they'll do is they'll drop the phone down to the side or in front of them, and they'll continue following on the map. And so what we do is that when they drop it down, when they drop the phone down, we bring up the map full screen so that they can see the route that they're taking on the map. Uh-huh. And then when they're ready, they can hold up the phone again and it can show them everything within the AR, within the camera. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense to people's use cases. Another thing we do is, I mentioned earlier that we, as soon as a person opens their phone, it figures out where they are within the indoor space. And that was a really important aspect to us, because another aspect of the way that people hold, the way that people interact with their phones, is that people will, let's say they drop it, they're looking at the map, there is a long stretch of going forward. Well, they're going to switch over to a messaging app, or they're going to put their phone in their pocket. And so when they switch back to our app, we have to be ready, and we have to be prepared to relaunch the experience so that it's ready to go. And whenever they want to hold up their phone, we're ready to, you know, be back in that experience. And so we definitely design around the paradigm of how people actually use their phones. And we do not expect people to walk around with their phones held up in front of them.
Uh-huh, but by putting down the phones, can you still accurately localize users without having no visual inputs?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's part of our solution, is that we don't require you to hold up your phone in order to relocalize.
Uh-huh, that's great. So hopefully in not so far future, we'll have AR glasses. How do you see mm-hmm. these new form factors help AR technology providers like yourself?
Yeah, I 100% think that AR glasses is the future. There's a clarification that I want to make here. And I think some people convolute two concepts. One concept right now is AR headsets, which you see from Magic Leap and HoloLens. And these I kind of think as being like the laptop of the AR world. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take them to a coffee shop maybe, and you could use it there, or you could use it at your work environment. You could even take it around the office, but you're not carrying a laptop when you walk around a shopping mall, for example.
Yeah.
And so I think of headset as being sort of the laptop of the AR world, and then the future AR glasses, which don't exist yet, but which will exist in the near future. Those are more like the smartphone of the AR world. And this is the device that people are going to walk around and use on a regular basis. I see AR glasses as being the smartphone of the AR world. And so I think that has a really bright future. And what we're working towards now is, let's develop the technology that integrates into all of these indoor spaces and prioritizes the AR experience as a significant part of that, because in a few years that is going to be the primary form factor that we're working with, and we want to have a breakthrough experience integrated into all of these spaces in a couple of years' time for when those AR glasses come out.
Uh-huh. So, Andrew, for having the indoor navigation properly, we actually have to localize the users and know the position of the users correctly. So, are there any privacy concerns about it?
Yeah, I definitely think that if people are not responsible, then there could be privacy concerns. So I think at some level in the future, what I would like to see is that the platform themselves owns some amount of the positioning technology. Because I think that when that's controlled by a third party, you run the risk, if they're not a privacy conscious company, then I think you run the risk of that kind of thing being abused. So I definitely think it's as location services are now, you know, you just want to be conscious of that going forward. It's something that we certainly are aware of, and we want to be responsible with that ourselves as we grow.
So, Andrew, how can our listeners and businesses and developers reach Dense Reality?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can go on a website. If you represent an organization like a shopping mall or an airport or a college campus or something like that, then definitely reach out to us on our website, dentreality.com. You can see our work there, our latest video, and we have some explanation of how our stuff works on there. And you can reach out to us and we'll probably schedule a call to learn more information. Another thing we're doing is we're also working with agencies, digital agencies, because oftentimes they work in, you know, different geographies. Let's say you own an agency in Spain and you have connections to lots of retail locations in Spain. Yeah, then definitely reach out to us because we're looking to those relationships also.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, Andrew, thank you very much for joining the All Things XR podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I've been meaning to come on for a long time, and I'm so happy that we're able to talk about what we're doing now. So,
sure. Thanks very much.
Well, guys, thanks very much for listening to this episode. Stay tuned for the next episodes of All Things XR podcast, where we will talk about the latest trends in AR and VR.